Don't know how many of you are shepherds here. Don't know if any of you have sheep, a flock of sheep at home that you tend. Probably none of you, actually. But in Jesus' time and place, that was the big deal. They didn't have computers then, and they didn't have factories. Their big occupation was taking care of sheep and raising a few crops here and there. So in a sense, much simpler than ours. But that's why so many of the images that are used in Scripture come from places that we, in a sense, have to look up to Google shepherding and find out what that means and how it takes place. There are shepherds in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there are references, the image of a shepherd jumps over into leaders in their religious life, in the Jewish faith. And there were times when their leaders weren't good. So they were bad shepherds, and they needed to clean up their act and get going. Jesus, in turn, becomes the good shepherd, the one who even will lay down his life to protect his sheep, or will do whatever it needs to make sure that they're secure and healthy and are taken care of. You know, the speaks of the sheepfold and a gateway in and out, and there are different kinds, but I even saw the same thing down in Kenya. Basically, they had kind of an outer perimeter that they would make usually of shrubs and bushes and then branches, kind of acacia limbs with spines on them about so tall, at least 3 inches or more tall. And you kind of put them together, and it's no fun trying to run through them, either for a human being or for an animal. So they had that. And then the next kind of row were of their huts, little rounded huts that they had there. Then inside, basically the circle, they had another inner place where in the evening they brought their cattle in. They brought in their cows, their sheep, and their goats and put them in there. And then they would close up the main gate, again with these acacia limbs that prevented humans as well as others from getting in. And so the men then had to guard during the night to make sure that they were not taken from them their valuable cattle. And that's exactly what was the case in the time of Jesus. And he talks about how he would even lay down his life for a sheep. So the image is, we are the sheep. We are the ones who follow Christ. And our leader is such a trustworthy person, has gone to the full limits even of laying down his life for us. And so we are grateful for the wonderful care that God has given us, continues to give us down through time in our own day. So that if you ever feel like you're surrounded with love and care, that's the kind of imagery that our Lord wanted us to know about in our life. It says also that this one who looked after them was one who was very, very good at doing his job quietly and bearing up with difficulties, patiently suffering, enduring whatever came along. So that the word revenge or getting even was not a part of that shepherd's life, nor by comparison should it be really a part of our life. I know you've heard of road rage. I hope you are not guilty of that, although maybe out in the rural communities it's not as much, but certainly in an urban situation, people get upset if they cut you off or things like that. And they use sign language, not really the sign language I use here in church. But so we have to watch that, you know, how we live our lives, because it's a totality. It's not just here and then something else over there. It's who we are, should be every place. I think, too, another quality of finding our Lord alive in us and at work in us is being able to have quiet time or time to reflect. It is so difficult, I think even more so for us today, because, you know, we've got radios in our cars, we can walk with Walkmans, we have radios at home, we have televisions on, maybe from morning till night. We have our smartphones, we can either stream music or stream programs of various kinds, or constantly be checking on them, what's going on. So I think it's just as much for me as for all of you, this idea of being distracted, of not taking or finding enough time to be at one with our God. Maybe music can play in the background, but we want to think in those terms, making sure that we have that element alive with us in our daily lives. It's just a wonderful gift to be able to keep ourselves focused on what is the important thing in life, what is not as important, when we reflect in that way. So that we're not always just kind of reacting to things happen. I think that's when we get angry, that's when we get impatient, that's when we say nasty things or give nasty signs, is when we don't have it together. In other words, we're not really confident and sure that we're going the right direction. If we're constantly caught off guard, something is wrong. Wanted to say something else about this day. It's Mother's Day, and we're very grateful for all of our mothers, each one of us, in our own way, and very grateful and happy for mothers here today, and for those who play the role of mothers, who are nourishing kinds of people, who help and to guide and to give life and energy to little ones around us. This gift of the feminine is a wonderful gift in the world, and we pray that God will always bless you in that, that there will, the proper respect will be given to that. I noticed on Facebook this morning, here I was myself distracted with that, but anyway, several people that I know who are adopted wrote beautiful things to their adoptive mothers. And that's a wonderful thing. So that realization of that maternal power is exhibited in many different ways, but we thank you for that very much. I can't help but think of the maternal gift of even the animal world shows us. I remember watching the elephants down in Kenya earlier this year, you know, the big mother elephant, and then the little baby would be right beneath her, right inside her, you might say, walking on the ground, and the grass of the prairie would be there, and you could almost, that little one was almost invisible to the eye as you looked at it, but the mother just carefully making sure her little one was well. And then when they got in more open areas, then the little one could run free a little bit and come back. That same kind of wonderful sense. And I remember, you know, some of these things go across cultures. I think women cross culturally easier than men do, I think. We're competitive and we're not sure, well, are they going to be after us and am I going to be after them and so on like that. But I remember being in Turkey, kind of in out away from big cities in a small village, and our guide allowed the bus to stop because we saw some women baking bread there in the middle, in open ovens outside, kind of back from their homes. And we went over, and had we been a busload of men, I don't think we'd have had much success. But because there were women, there was that immediate trust factor, more so, I think, than men can give to one another. But and then the other was that without knowing the language, they immediately shared with us freshly baked bread, you know, round loaves about that high, golden brown out of these ovens in their backyards. And it was like a natural mass, the sharing of the bread, the breaking of the bread together. And so, but like I say, I think I've noticed that over and over, language, it breaks a bond of language or cultural differences. There is something so common there across the world. So we thank God for you, and keep it up. Keep leading us men to the good things and good directions in life. Thank you.